Welcome to the Entertainment Rants Podcast, your number one source for all things entertainment. Join host Marco Mazzola and his fellow ranters as they sound off on the latest movies, TV, and the world of entertainment. Now, here are your ranters for the hour, Marco, Mila, Larry, and Bruno.
Welcome to the Entertainment Rant Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Marco Mazzola, and tonight we are doing a special car ride home edition, as we just got done seeing the Carole King musical at the North Shore Music Theater. Tonight, my ranters are with me, Amy. Say hello, Amy.
Hi.
And Billy.
Hello.
And Mara.
Howdy.
And we are just, like I said, we got done seeing the Carole King musical at the North Shore Music Theater. Tonight was the second night, or as they say, opening night. And we're going to go around and everybody's going to give their quick review of what they thought of it. And then we'll go through and give our, you know, in-depth review. So let's start with Amy. What did you think of the show tonight?
I thought it was incredible. I had no idea that she had written as many songs for other artists as she had. I mean, she was incredibly, incredibly talented. And her life was also, I don't know, very tumultuous. And so I think she channeled it well in her music, but I enjoyed it very, very much. I feel like I learned a lot, which is nice too.
Yes, definitely. What about you?
North Shore Music Theater, man, they hit it out of the park. Great theatrical play, great musical, phenomenal cast. Eleanor Ricardo was phenomenal in the lead role.
Oh, yeah.
Just a phenomenal play. Loved it.
Excellent. Mara, what about you?
Well, it's hard to expound on both very high reviews, and I feel the same. I thought the actors did a great, great job both portraying her music, and the quality of their talent was unexpected.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't know a lot about Carole King. It is, like you said, you know, Amy said the same thing. Like, I don't know a lot of... I know her music. I didn't know it was her music.
Mm-hmm.
I think that happens a lot. I mean, I'm 47, so, you know, like I said, I grew up hearing a lot of these songs. I'm not as well-versed, I've said this before many times on the podcast, in music. I know TV, I know movies. Music is definitely not my thing. So, I can hear the music in my head. I love the music. Had no idea who performed it or, you know, and then there's obviously the older songs that she didn't perform, but she wrote or wrote the music to her and her ex-husband wrote the lyrics to. So, you know, that was a lot of it. That was a big shock to me as well. So it was really interesting to hear all that stuff come out. What are some of your favorite, I would think, scenes or parts of the performances? One of mine were the costume changes. I thought the costume changes were incredible. You know, because you get to see all the decades that it takes you through throughout the performance. So you see, you know, the passage of time through the whole performance. You get to see through the costume changes. And it was very cool to see that, you know, very effortless. You know, you don't get to see, like, her kids grow up, so obviously it wasn't very centered on her kids, things like that. So that passage of time was dealt through the costume changes. And, of course, the music. You know what I mean? Obviously, you know the era. If you know music like Billy does, you know the era of time when the music came out. But for me, it was definitely the costume changes. Billy, what about you?
So for me, the highlight was obviously Carole King herself, but I really enjoyed the Drifters. I thought the four guys did a phenomenal job. The choreography and the dancing and the singing was fantastic. The Little Eva coming out and doing Locomotion and the line that they had going in a circle there was fantastic, was amazing. I love the costume changes as well, because we went from the 60s with the shiny tuxedos into the 70s where you had the wide bell bottoms and the more colorful prints and everyone with long hair. And I really liked, more post importantly, what I really thought was effective was the way they used the upright piano throughout the play. It just changed its location on the stage to change the scene. I really found that appropriate. I love that. I absolutely love the way they changed the scene with that.
That's what it is.
I like that. I mean, I really liked that too. I loved the piano reminds me of one that was in my elementary school, and they used to move it like we had a cafegymatorium, right? So they used to like move it around everywhere. Yeah. It would be like in different spots all the time. And I don't know, I thought it really tied everything together, and it's like the center of her, right? Like that's at the, you know, at the end of the day, she wrote the music. She could write lyrics too. She just didn't think she could in the beginning. She was.
She didn't think she could sing either. So
I know, which is crazy.
Carole King really, really struggled, you know, with confidence in her singing. Always. And even when she came out with the number one album, Tapestry, in 71, she still was self-conscious about that. And yet, you know, everyone loved her for just being herself, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that's the last song that they sang, and when you're beautiful, which is the name of the play, was her saying, you know, you don't have to be, you know, this gorgeous number 10 model to be beautiful. You can just be yourself. And I think she was comfortable in her own skin after that.
Yeah, I agree. I hope so. I mean, I feel like she went through a lot to develop into who she was.
Absolutely.
And she used, you know, she used her pain, she used her life, she used all of her things to
her experiences.
Yeah, her experiences to, you know.
She was a pro. And she,
yeah.
And it showed in her determination to continue on with her life after, you know, the love of her life, you know, dumped on her. And she still carried on, you know, for her daughters and for her love of the music and her career. I mean, she's an amazing woman. And in fact, you know, I lived through the time, and her album, it carried a lot of weight, not just musically, but it empowered women at the time. You know, because women's rights started becoming mm-hmm. a real issue back in the early 70s, you know, mm-hmm. like equal pay, women wanted to be taken seriously for they didn't just have to be housewives, you mm-hmm. know. They could have a full-time job, they could raise a family, they could be the breadwinner, they could, you know, my mother was certainly one of that generation. You know, she was an original woman's liver, and you know, that my household, that's what we talked about. You know, she was, it was all about equal rights, and it was, and Carole King was a forefront of that at the time. You know, that was an important album.
Yeah, I bet. When did it come out, do you know?
1971.
Wow. Yeah, right at the beginning. Yes, and in 1971, she could not have a credit card without either her husband or her father's co-signature.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that, right? Like, she, you know, and which is just incredible to me. Like, I, you know.
But the play also, I mean, I it's my second play at North Shore Music Theater, and I gotta tell you, I love the venue. I mm-hmm. absolutely adore it. I think it's a gem. And more people should go. If you haven't gone, go. You're missing something that is so, so beautiful. Get into it. Get in. Get down there. Get it. Go see a play. They've got a bunch of really good ones coming up, like Sound of Music, Elvis. The
Monty.
Yeah. We'll list them all on our page as well, and in the description of the podcast with links.
Attraction to the venue is the circular.
Yeah, the theater on the round.
Yes, the Shakespearean model, you know, it's really cool. It's just a cool.
Yeah, there's no bad seat in the house.
No bad seats.
You know, it's an amazing theater. We love going there. We've been mm-hmm. there a number of times now. So, Maya, what was your thoughts? What were some of your favorite parts of the
I really enjoyed the costume change. You're right. They were right point on to the years in which they spanned.
Yeah.
The music was inviting. It made you want to sing along.
Yeah.
I think that two things happened there. The venue certainly projected the music well, and the actors themselves also were very well talented.
Yes.
So it was very uplifting from the beginning to through the end.
Right. Right. And I found, like, for myself, the hard part, and this is not a drawback and certainly not a slight of any kind, you know, they have to shorten the songs time-wise. Like, you know, it's not, no song is, like, in its full entirety, really. because, you know, time-wise, otherwise it would be like a four-hour play.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, you find yourself in a way, they're just so good, their performances are so well done, you want the full song. You're like, oh, it's over. Right. Damn it, I want the whole song. The songs are so powerful, they're doing such a great job with that. Obviously, the orchestra, the, you know, the behind them are amazing, performing these songs. You know, it was just, that was a pleasure as well. So it does, like, you know, it's the old adage, leave them wanting more. You definitely wanted more of the music, so, you know, and it's definitely inspired me to kind of go back and listen to her back catalog. Billy, tell me, how many, do you know, other than Tapestry, what else she's done?
With her albums?
Yeah, what kind of, what other albums does she have, do you know?
Well, she had a bunch of, like, she did a collaboration with Mariah Carey when, because she saw Mariah Carey do her first song, and she said, I want to write with her, and... Aretha Franklin had done one of Carole King's songs, and she wanted Mariah to sing the song, and Mariah said, no, Ella, you know, Aretha is my hero. I can't try and one-up her on a song. So they ended up collaborating on a song. She played with James Taylor for a long time. You've Got a Friend actually was a number one hit for him.
Yep.
And they actually toured together for years. And sang that song together, You've Got a Friend. And she also was, I've seen a lot of videos of her in live concert where she played guitar as well. I mean, she was an excellent pianist and, you know, classically trained. So I don't know all of her albums, but she did a song called Jazz Man, which was a later hit for her, which was a great song, you know, and I mean, it had a lot of horns in it, which, you know, kind of in the early 80s, that seemed to be the thing. You know, people started getting horn sections and things like that. So she was definitely with the times, you know, and she just, she was influential for me. Tapestry, I wore, you know, I had a record player, obviously, and I wore a Deep Groove in that record. that was one of my top 10 favorite albums of all time.
You can see why.
Yeah. Just a great album. There wasn't a bad song on it, and very influential in my life, no question.
You can definitely tell, like, with, you know, her talent, and I think this is not easy to say and not easy to do for many composers, like, she did keep throughout the years. Like, she's obviously spanned, you know, a few decades, and the music changed so drastically for the type of music, you know what I mean, from the decades that she spent, and she was able to keep up with it and not get stuck,
right.
You know what I mean, mm-hmm. In a certain type of music, this type of music I do, and this is another type of music I do, and then once that music changed, you kind of, like, you're out, because you can't keep up with the times, yeah. You know, music, 70s music obviously was very mm-hmm. different than the 60s, was different than the 50s, you know, people would get stuck in that music, and that's it, like, you know, there are a lot of bands in the 80s you don't hear from anymore.
Right.
Some you do, but most of them you don't hear from anymore because they're stuck with that kind of music.
Well, or get stuck in the fact that more people were writing, yeah. Right? Like, she was able to still find her voice and have her music and say, well, what,
like,
she
they
wanted
said,
to
when
say.
Artists were kind of writing for themselves, and they weren't able to write for artists anymore.
Well, back in the 60s, almost every record you heard wasn't played by the artist. It was played by session people. And in a lot of the songs they sang wasn't written by them. It was written by session, you know, it was written by writers like Carole King mm-hmm. And like just a few of those people actually came out of that. The very few of them, one was Glenn Campbell. He was a session man out in LA and an incredible session man. And he came out and became an artist in his own right. And one was Carole King. So, I mean, there were a few of them that survived. Because in the late, you know, the early 70s, what happened is bands started writing their own material and playing them out, like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of started that area. And
Bob Dylan.
And it spelled the doom of the session art, you know, the people writing, you know, that were writing songs for these artists and also the people that were playing the music as well.
I could be wrong. Was Paul Anka one of those kind of guys? He used to write a lot of music for other people.
I don't know much about Paul Anka.
He wrote stuff for, like, Sinatra, people like that.
He was more 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Sinatra was 40s and 50s. So
yeah.
For me, I mean, even though I respect him and I admire him, I, you know, he was a different shot, you know, different era for me.
Yeah.
Very much. Old blue eyes.
Old blue eyes. Yeah.
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 But I really, really, I can't tell you, I'm so appreciative to being able to go to the play tonight, and, you know, we finally got the right night.
I know, that one I'll never live down.
Dragging us all up here on the wrong night.
On the wrong night. Yeah, well, it was on the calendar. Yeah. Somebody put that on the calendar months ago, and I never
did. You know, he told me it's 30% of the blame is on me.
I'm not taking 100%. I'm not taking 100%.
It's the way it works.
Yeah. I was like, none of the blame is on me. And he's like, I was willing to accept 70%. I was like, 90.
I think that, you know, Mark is being really generous. He'll give 100%
to him. That's right. That's right. See? Told you.
Oh, you think he's being really generous.
I thought so, too.
I know, honey. I know you do.
Thank you. So I had a question for you, Billy. So being a musician, and this is, again, I understand the concept of what has to go behind this, right? The performers are performing, and they're singing, and they have to act, and they have to move around the stage and to do their thing. So obviously, they're not playing the instruments, right? That's all theater.
Yeah.
Does that, being a musician yourself, is that weird for you? Like, when I watch a movie or something like that, and I see people doing martial arts, and it's complete hogwash, you can tell they've never done it in their life. Maybe they practice for a few months, and they're just like, so it's kind of weird for me. Is it weird for you?
It's really weird. Like, in fact, like, the Beatles were a huge influence in my life, and they were doing the Ed Sullivan Show for the first time, and they couldn't play their instruments. They had a pantomime, and you can see in some of the old clips how they were making fun of it. You know, they were mouthing the wrong words or playing left hand, you know, playing weirdly so that they, you know, because they thought it was a joke. They really wanted to play their instruments. And then it's funny how it all flipped, because then in the 80s, who was the band? There was a couple of guys that were singing them.
Milli Vanilli,
and they got caught, you know,
lip syncing,
faking it, and it became a big scandal.
Yeah,
which is funny because, you know, in the 60s, that's all they
did. What they made them do.
That's what they made them do. Yeah.
But tonight's actress.
No, they were singing. I mean,
Carole King.
Oh yeah.
Played the piano.
She was playing the piano.
I know. I was surprised.
No, they said it was fake.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Huh?
He said it was fake.
No, but she was doing it. You could see her.
No, they said, Bill Haney said it was fake.
Really?
Yeah, that's what, in the beginning of the play, he's like, he tapped it. He's like, it's theater music. It's fake. It doesn't work.
I thought the piano
I don't think she was playing.
You could see her pushing down the keys.
She did a really good job. She was pushing the keys, but it doesn't mean the inside of the piano was doing anything.
I couldn't tell.
I was going to ask you if you could tell.
I don't think
so. I spent,
honestly, that was guitar.
When they had the guitar player.
Oh, yeah. You could absolutely.
They were faking.
Oh, yeah. That I could.
Which is why I was asking. He was the main reason I was asking. But no, Carol, when she was doing a lot of it, you could tell that she was hitting, though, like she was barely moving. She should have been moving more. But even at the end, what I'm trying to say is that Bill, at the beginning, it kind of took me out of it. It was like the one thing I was like, I wish he didn't say that. He knocked the piano. He's just like, yeah, it's kind of theater magic. It's fake. It doesn't actually work. Because the people, you know, the orchestra people are playing it for her so that she doesn't have to try to sing and play and move around and keep to the rest of the music at the same time. They were playing it for her. And she doesn't have to learn. Because it doesn't necessarily mean she can sing. It doesn't mean she also knows how to play the piano.
Right.
And play all these songs. She has to learn the songs and learn how to play the piano to play the part. I don't think she actually knows how to. I don't think she was actually playing. I'll confirm it. I'll check. But I don't think she actually was playing the piano.
I thought she was at some point. I really did.
I spent a lot of time staring at her fingers trying to figure it out.
She was actually pushing the keys. You're not wrong. She was pushing the keys. I don't think they actually hitting anything.
They were the correct keys, especially if you know piano.
Which I don't, so I could be completely wrong. I could be 100% wrong. I don't know piano from, you know, anything.
I don't know. I feel the earth move under my feet. Her timing on the piano, she was playing it spot on.
If she was playing the piano, then it's like even bigger hats off from me. While doing the acting, while singing, you know what I mean, for a theater person to be able to do all that at the same time. Huge kudos. That takes, for me, takes the performance to another level. So
she was a wonderful actress.
Yes, absolutely.
And with an excellent voice.
Absolutely.
And the play itself was, it was great writing. I mean, just to tie the whole story together with the music, in her music, I mean, I thought that was...
What did you think of the pacing of the play?
Oh, no, it was great. Yeah. Kept you entertained, constantly motivated. Yeah. It was no lull at all.
I had one problem with it. It wasn't long enough.
I mean, that's kind of what I was saying, like with the song. You know what I mean?
I wish it could have been a couple more hours, you know? And I really enjoyed it. I would have sat through another couple of hours.
With the songs and everything like that, if the songs were, you know, they were able to play the full songs, it would have been, you know what I mean? Yeah. You totally wanted it to be longer because you wanted the full songs.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a fun night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Her songs, though, I felt like her original, they're all her original songs, but like the ones that she was singing and writing and doing all of it, I felt like they cut those more than the other ones. Those other songs are shorter.
Well, I think that, you know, they were trying to make the story about her and her relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And then also breaking into the business. So, you know, the culmination of all of it was her, you know, her album Tapestry. Mm-hmm. So they didn't put as much weight on that, but I think that's because of the story that she found her voice at the end, and mm-hmm. and I think that was really the import of the story, you know, which again it's the beauty of the play, you know, it's beautiful.
Yeah. That scene where she goes, oh my god, I'm 28, what am I gonna do? I was like, what do you mean, what are you gonna do, you're 28?
Well, she was married and pregnant at 16.
God,
it's incredible.
A different era, but so you don't really get that, you know, sense of that timing, like, really, 28, that's it.
I'm glad she said that, because I was like,
that was hard to judge the timing.
It wouldn't have computed in my head.
No, it didn't compute in my head until she said that. So,
but she took a leap of faith and went to California, and,
I know,
you know, found her voice out there, and she needed a change, and she took it, and she, you know, brought her daughters out there and didn't wallow in the agony that her mother did, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, she definitely went her own path, you know. She was going to not be a bitter old woman, you know.
And that was, I mean, it's, I think that was really brave, right? Like, moving away from everything that you know and everything that's familiar, like.
That's hard to do today, let alone back then.
True.
When you said, like, when, you know.
Especially when women didn't have the rights that men did. So she had twice in the battle.
Yeah.
I was glad they didn't. They were able to pay a little bit of respect to her mother at that one point.
At the end, yeah.
You know, 99 times out of 100, she's wrong. The one time, she's right. But it was, you know, I mean, the mother did a lot more than just be right one time. She helped raise her daughters, you know. Mm-hmm. She was there for her. And that's big, you know, because she had to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, I don't know. I really loved the play. I guess all I can tell you, I think that was...
It's a musical.
I love musicals, and that's why the North Shore Music Theater is probably my most favorite theater in Massachusetts.
So great segue. Would you go back to see this one again?
I would.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, I would too.
In fact, I'm thinking about a couple of friends of mine, and we have to plan something to do with them, and I would love to bring them to this place.
Yeah. I think they would. Yeah.
So who has the program? When is it? What are the dates on this? We have the program.
If you, yes, I got it. Billy has it.
Let's get the dates on this one, so make sure we get. I'll take the phone if you want.
That'd be good.
I know it. I thought it was through most of June. Let's just double check.
June 6th to the 18th, you want to go to nsmt.org, correct? Mm-hmm. Just double check on that.
nsmt.org,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so get your tickets. Mm-hmm. Let's just give a quick rundown as well on what else they have coming up.
So next is The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
And that starts July 11th.
Yeah.
And then after The Sound of Music, there is Margaritaville.
Yes, Jimmy Buffett's,
Buffett's Margaritaville. And then followed by The Full Monty.
Right.
And then ending up with Elvis.
Yeah, but there's more stuff in between.
Yeah, there's...
I have a full list in here.
Okay.
I'll press list. There should be something in here.
Okay. I'll
look. Okay, you look. Oh. Right here. There we go. Sound of Music, Margaret, Full Monty, Elvis, and then of course, then ends up with A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Back back in December, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They have concerts and things in between.
In between, yeah. Look for those, because we'll definitely be making as many, if not all, of these. Again, hopefully do our end off our year with Christmas Carol again.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I love Christmas Carol.
Definitely do that again. That was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. So, all right, let's go through. Let's see. I know we kind of chewed it up a little bit, but I'm in the wrong book. Where's our program guide? Where's our program guide here? All right. Dead air. That's always wonderful for a podcast, in case you're wondering. I love it. Let's give some shout-outs here, because we'd like to, on the directors and the... I'll let you read off some of the directors and the actors and stuff like that who did it. So let's start off with the director, of course.
Douglas McGrath. No. Oh, my gosh.
He wrote the book.
He wrote the book. Yeah. It doesn't start with the director, dear. It starts with Marco Santana. Thank you, Billy.
You're welcome.
Marco Santana. Alina Ricardo was Carol King, and she was absolutely incredible.
Yes.
Jean McCormick was her mother, Jeannie Klein. Betty, who was my favorite. I liked Ellie Siebold. I thought she was great.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about some of your favorite characters, yeah, too.
I really liked Betty. I thought she was awesome.
Yep.
Don Kirshner was the guy who gave her her start.
I like Campbell. Don Kirshner. I know he's the sleazy, you know, studio guy, but I like the way he was portrayed. I like the guy. What was his name again that played him?
Don Kirshner was a big name, man.
Reed Campbell.
Reed Campbell, man. He did a great job. Yeah. He did a great job playing Don Kirshner. I mean, you definitely got the feel of that sleazy, typical big wig, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. He did it perfectly.
He was a big name, man. Don Kirshner was a big name.
Yeah, you definitely got the feel there. He had the mustache, the slicked hair, the white, you know, the quick talking. Oh yeah, he was the typical guy, and he played him to a T. That was great.
Mm-hmm. My second favorite actor in the play was Barry Mann. He played Jack Cahill Lamb, who played Barry Mann.
Yeah.
Barry was Cynthia Wilde's partner there.
Yep.
Oh,
Cynthia Wilde was incredible. The
hypochondriac?
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job.
He was good. He was almost a caricature, I thought, you know what I mean, to a certain degree with the hypochondriac, you know what I mean, being hypochondriac. And just, like, everything was, like, you know, cat dander. And it was like, okay, settle down. But some of it was just really, really well-timed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that was fun. That was a lot of fun. He kept it through.
Yeah.
He kept it through the whole thing. They didn't miss a beat. It was a lot more comedy in the musical than I thought there would be, which I appreciated. I thought there'd be, you know, I didn't think there was going to be as much comedy in it, which I liked. You know what I mean? It kind of kept that part.
Right, it's a serious story.
Yeah, it's a serious story, which I liked. You know, definitely little bits in there thrown in there for fun, and I think that was well-placed and well-timed, but didn't make the show goofy. It kept it nice and had some great laughs to it. Right. It kept you going in between some amazing musical numbers.
Yeah. Cynthia Wheel was great as well, Jessica Rush.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the Drifters, like Billy said, the group that they put that together.
And the Shirelles were good too. Yeah.
I thought the dance, Little Eva, and the Locomotion, I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah,
the true story is that she was a babysitter and she did invent that dance. Because they were trying to come up with something to compete with the Twist and the Froog, and what else was back then in the 60s? There was this whole thing where people...
Oh, the mashed potato thing.
Yeah, people were coming up with dance songs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Righteous Brothers were really good, too. I mean, of course, that was a great song, too.
Yeah.
But that was a signature song for them.
That was the one right before the intermission, right?
Yeah. Well, One Fine Day, You've Lost That Love and Feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. That was right before.
I had no idea they wrote that.
That was awesome.
Well, Carol King didn't write that. It was Cynthia Wilde.
Yeah, that's right. Barry Mann.
But that was good. That was powerful.
Yeah. One Fine Day also. I mean, I love One Fine Day. Yeah. I think that's... My biggest takeaway from this is that Carole King wrote If You Lead, I Will Follow, which is the theme song to the Gilmore Girls, which is like my favorite show.
That's right.
I had no idea Carole King wrote it till they played it after intermission, and I was like, oh my God!
You know what I was not upset by, but and this might have been a rights thing, but you know, because she wrote some monkey stuff, but they didn't get to play any of it.
Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Did they play it?
Yeah, they played Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Oh, they did play it. That's right. They right. Where was I? I was there for the whole show.
You were there.
I actually showed up tonight in the right night.
That wasn't her favorite monkey song that she wrote. They did a movie. The monkeys did a movie, and she wrote the soundtrack for it, and
she really?
Yeah, and the title song she wrote for it.
Did she write the title song to the show?
What did somebody else
write? No.
Hey, with the monkeys?
Yeah, no, she didn't write that, but she...
And people say we monkey around.
We're too busy singing
to put everybody down.
Don't get us kicked off of YouTube with your singing.
Oh, it's true.
Giving away here.
I just thought they, you know, I
she's on, not, showing her singing talent.
Yeah, I wasn't singing. She knows this, she knows I do. Used to be on Nick at Night.
Yes, love that show.
Used to be on Nick at Night, and I used to watch it.
Goofy show. I used to watch it too.
Yeah. I had no idea she wrote Natural Woman.
Up on the Roof.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I knew she
would. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's a great song. Oh, so is Some Kind of Wonderful. That's another great song. Change, the Beatles did it. Yeah, I mean, she was an amazing artist.
We Got to Get Out of This Place, that was Barry. They wrote that, but that was, I mean, I had no idea that they wrote that.
Yeah, what a competition between the two pairs, you know? I mean, that's a great... It's unbelievable. You know?
Well, it's good fodder, right? For like, you know.
They're pushing each other.
And what's his face knew it. And Kirshner knew it, right? And tried to play him off each other.
Yeah, right.
He did.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think worked out
They're
well
They're writing
for all
more
of
than
them.
You are. I don't know what's going to happen with the contract.
Right.
That's good. He said the same thing to both. Mm-hmm. That's how you play it. That's how you do it.
Let's play them off each other. Yeah.
I got employees. I know how this works.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you won.
They show up on time every day. I don't know about what's going to happen with you tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah. No, it was really incredibly, it was an incredibly moving show.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to say. And it always impresses me how well these people can sing.
Yeah.
While running around, dancing and doing all of this
jumping off and on stage, costume changing.
So how about the big hole in the center of stage that they're
that they all walk around? I know.
I kept waiting for somebody to fall.
Okay, so there was one point where the Drifters were like,
they were awfully close. I know.
Well, no, because then they went back to the center. I thought they were going to go back down, and one guy wasn't. He was half on, half off.
Oh, yeah. No.
I thought, I'm like, this guy's going to fall. But then they walked off stage. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because half his foot was on the circle, half was off. I'm like, he's not fully on the circle. He's done. If they lose that stage underneath him, he's gone. He's going to fall. It was a poor guy. But then he did it. They walked away. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Occupational hazard.
Yeah.
Right?
Move back, man. Move back.
No, I don't want to see that occupational hazard.
No, I didn't
want
to see that. I did not want to see that. No, but thank God. They just walked off stage. So that was good.
It was good.
Yeah. But seeing that, it is so fluid. It is so fluid. I mean, obviously, the rehearsals are just, you know, incredible in what they do. And I love how much they use the entire theater. Like, even the steel beams that hold up the entire place, and they have the lights on them. To engulf you and totally surround you and make you feel like you're part of it and you're in it. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I love that.
Because it's theater in the round, they can't have complicated sets. So they do a lot with a little.
With the lighting and everything like that.
The locomotion scene with Little Eva, and they had the American Bandstand things that came down. And I don't think I've ever seen American Bandstand, but I felt like I could picture it,
there.
I felt like I was like right there. It was awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen them use the lighting on those metal beams. Maybe they have, but I've never seen them. I've never particularly noticed it before, but I noticed it tonight. So the metal beams going down at the angles that go towards the back of the back of the theater. It totally engulfed us in what we were doing. So that
pulls you in.
Yeah, it really did. It really made me feel part of it. So like the whole play, I really felt a part of what was happening in there. So I thought that was really cool. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed it because it was such a great, you know, musical to be a part of, you know, everything. And, you know, until really the second act, it was really uplifting. You know what I mean? The second act obviously takes a turn, you know, because of what happens, you know, but for the most part, the first act is very uplifting. It's really the rise of what's happening.
Right.
And then there starts to be towards the end of the first act, we start to get the downfall and the breakup of the relationship. And then the second act is...
What, you mean the part where she says that, with the part where he says, you know, I want to still be married to you, but I also want to have an affair.
But I want to start messing around, dude. But absolutely. So, yeah, exactly. So, there you go.
He had some weird stuff. There was a time in their history when Coffin was having an affair with the African American woman, and either she or a friend came in and obviously been beaten up, and they obviously, you know, her and him and Carole King said, you know, what happened? What happened? And I said, well, my boyfriend. And then they were like, well, you should leave him. He said, no, he loves me. And, you know, he wants to stay with me and we'll work it out. And they ended up actually getting married, the couple. And so, but they were really kind of traumatized by this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wrote a song called He Hit Me, But It Felt Like a Kiss. And it was it was universally panned, you know. And actually, Carole King later said, I wish I had nothing to do with that song. And it's not a very good song, to be honest with you. It's not, you know, and it never went anywhere. It was, but he was off the deep end, you know, I mean,
He had, you know, they said he had a nervous breakdown, but it looks like bipolar disorder. And he was like way off the deep end a lot. Like she thought he was doing drugs, but he was, you know,
up and down.
He could have been.
Yeah, back then,
on top
of LSD was getting prevalent. And
well, the amphetamines too, and speed, whatever.
Speed was prevalent. Yeah. I mean, he could have been popping bennies or whatever. And then on top of his manic personality, you know, where he had to, you know, compete against his father being a playwright and never being successful, and he was going to do great things, and he really looked down upon what he was doing, writing lyrics for 3-minute songs. You know, he just didn't think that was a big deal. He had very little self-esteem about it.
Mm-hmm. But
he never could see in front of him what he had in front of him. You know, he had it all right there. There was nothing else he needed. You know.
No, and that he actually, like, I mean, it's not an easy thing to be successful at.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, he was very successful at it. And the not being able to really
accept it.
And I don't know, there's a different word I'm looking for, but it's not coming to me. But yeah.
He couldn't appreciate the success.
Couldn't appreciate any of it, it felt like.
No, definitely not.
I really felt, in that way, I felt bad for her because I felt like she really loved him. And that's it. And she wanted to be with him and, you know. She was going to put up with a lot, and then no.
He was her guy. And that's what she said, you know, and that was it. Yeah, but she weathered the storm, and she ended up getting married 2 more times after that, you know, over the years. So I don't think she lacked for relationships.
Did she just have the 2 kids?
Yeah.
That's enough?
You're good. I'm done. Shop's closed.
Yeah, well. I don't know.
There you go. So you said she's still alive.
Yes.
And you follow her on Facebook.
I do, yes.
And she's still out in California.
And she posts pictures all the time of old days and then herself now. I mean, and she's still, you know, a beautiful woman. And, you know, she definitely made a mark in my life, you know. So I'm happy to see the play. I'm happy to see. It's funny that they wrote a play about someone who's still alive. You know, like it seems to be the new thing because you know they just did the movie about Freddie Mercury and although he was dead and then but they did the one on Elton John and he's still alive.
Yeah.
Which was horrible.
You didn't like it.
Oh, I thought it was horrific. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Neither have I.
Yeah, I thought they made a caricature of him and. I think he's probably deeper than what they did in this movie.
Most likely, yeah.
You know, an incredible, talented musician. You know, just
yeah.
It's funny he never wrote his lyrics. He never wrote his own lyrics. You know.
No, we had a
Bernie Taupin.
Bernie Taupin, yeah.
Yeah.
But he could write music to anything. You
know? Well, that's it. Well.
Yeah. Yeah, they are doing a little more of that stuff. Did she come out and talked about the musical?
Yeah, she actually went to the Broadway play and showed up on one of the shows, and you know. Really gave props to everybody for doing a great job, you know, in this, you know, really to, and made everybody feel good, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah. So she liked it.
Yeah, she liked it.
Okay. I mean, that's, you never know how that's going to go.
Never know.
You never know, you know. But as I like it, it's about her life, so, you know, you never know. So if you like that kind of thing, so people just don't really.
There's another one, too, Tapestry or something, that's about her, I think. I feel like I've seen.
I don't know.
I think there's something else.
I'll have to look it up.
I remember someone I knew going to see it.
All right.
It's like, but this was amazing.
This was amazing. And we'd definitely go see it again.
Absolutely. I would. Absolutely.
Awesome. Absolutely. Nice. All right, any final notes, Mara? Any final notes on?
I had a great time. I think it's worth a great night out at a wonderful theater.
When you show up
theater.
On the right night, yeah.
When you show up on the right night, it can be a lot of fun.
Thank you. Billy?
North Shore Music Theater. Be there. Go there. It's a great place. It's a gem.
It is. It is.
It is truly. It really is. I absolutely loved it. This was one I was like, Carol King. What do I want to see a musical ball of Carol King for? And it was wonderful.
Yeah,
I
it
loved
was definitely
every single minute of it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yep, yeah, it was beautiful.
Because like I said at the beginning, I had no idea who she was. Not a clue. I'm not a music person. I'm definitely a Carole King fan now. You know, and I was an unknown Carole King fan. Yeah, because yeah. I know her music and I just didn't know it was her. So, you know, definitely now I know who she is and I know her music and it's her and I'll definitely be listening to a lot more of it. And I'll definitely be you know, going on about this play and wanting to get people to go see it. So we'll be posting about it on our social media and everything like that. So definitely look forward. So thank you to everybody at the North Shore Music Theater for putting on such a great production. Mike, thank you again. Look for us everywhere on our social media, Entertainment Rants, entertainmentrants.com. I want to thank Billy and Mata both. Thank you both for coming tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Amy, as always.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of our listeners. You can find us, as I said, at entertainmentrants.com. We'll be back next week with our normal ranters, doing one of our movies or TV shows or whatever happened to be happening in the world of entertainment. We're going to go out there and you know, keep on ranting. Everybody say, hashtag, let's rant.
Hashtag, let's rant.
There it is. Thank you, everybody.